Thanks for tuning into Conversations About Meaningful Things, the podcast where we dig into life, faith, and all the important questions. In a world that can feel isolating sometimes, we want to encourage you that you're not alone, that God loves you and isn't afraid of your questions. And that's the purpose of this podcast. In our time together, you can expect real talk, genuine interviews, and probably a few laughs along the way. Our hope is as you connect, you feel seen, loved, and encouraged as you take steps in your faith journey. So settle in and let's dive into the conversation. We're so happy to have you along.
Welcome back to Conversations About Meaningful Things. I am one of your hosts, Brian. To my left is...
Hey, this is Steve, and going around the triangle, I guess, is...
To the left. It's Alex. Hey, guys.
Hey,
how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. Hey, so we had some crazy stuff happen here in the Rochester area. I don't know if you guys got to experience the great... eclipse, or if you were here, the great cloudy eclipse.
The great 4 minutes of darkness.
I saw the clouds got dark, and then the clouds got light.
Correct.
And it was a little, it was a cool experience.
Like, it was neat.
How that happened, and like birds got quiet, and mm-hmm. all the light-sensitive lights came on.
Yes.
For 4 minutes, and then they went off again.
Did it get cold? Did anybody else feel it get colder? Yeah,
absolutely.
That was the wild thing. I was disappointed mm-hmm. that we didn't get to see the actual thing happen, but the utter darkness for that 3 minutes or whatever, it was still moving to me. It just that reminder of like, wow, there are things happening that we don't really think about until the moon literally goes in front of the path mm-hmm. of the sun and everything's affected. It's still pretty right. wild. That was
yeah.
And
insane.
Even just how all the heard the birds chirping right before and then complete silence and then
what's
right
happening?
After,
yeah.
Well, like, oh, the quickest night
and,
ever.
You know, for those who think, you know, this universe is just this big random thing, yet we can precisely predict things like that because
yeah.
there are patterns. There is design. There is predictability in mm-hmm. God's design of things. It's, you know, can you imagine if it was really random, like some people think, mm-hmm. and like, oh, yeah, for some reason the sky got dark today. We didn't realize it was going to happen.
Yeah,
but there was right. plenty of pre-planning.
Absolutely.
For the eclipse, people traveling. And,
yeah,
you know,
I feel bad if you traveled all the way up here to just see clouds, but mm-hmm. you know what? If you're listening to this in 100 years from now, hopefully you get to see the actual sun and the moon.
Right.
Yes.
But speaking of things like, again, it was wild. I heard an owl hooting, like things that would normally be awake at night were all of a sudden sort of awake or they would go to sleep. What are we talking about today, guys? We're talking about rest. We're talking about some other things as pertaining to rest. I'm just going to do a hard left here. But
a solid transition.
Thank you.
Yes.
That was not the best.
Not too bad.
Great segue.
I was wondering.
Thank you. Yeah. where are we going with this? What are we talking about today, guys?
Well, you kept saying to the left. So taking a left turn makes sense.
Yeah.
I think we're talking about, you know, what fills our lives and how we approach mm-hmm. that and the busy. I think it's interesting because sometimes you'll see somebody and go, hey, Brian. You know, how's it going? How's your week so far?
And you might. I am tired and I am busy.
Busy.
So busy.
Oh, I've got so much going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's interesting. Sometimes that is almost like this some sort of badge of honor. Like, oh, look how busy I am.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When I hear people say that, I a lot of times think, oh, sorry.
Like, yeah.
And it's not the way it's supposed to be, I don't think.
Yeah.
You know, there's an old saying, all work and no play makes Johnny a dull boy. And I think sometimes we think all work and no play makes Johnny a superstar in the USA. So
yeah, there's a whole industry around this whole called the grind set. The
yes.
Get out there, get that bag, get that money, have your second job, have your third job, have your side hustle. Get all of these things. And partially, a lot of that comes from necessity. So we're not going to downplay that some people need to because of, I don't know if you noticed, but food is a lot more expensive now than it was even last year.
Yeah.
But right, as Steve said, it's worn as a badge of honor, this idea of, well, if you're not up at three working on something and making some money, then what are you doing? You're lazy. You're whatever.
Yeah. And by the way, you stayed up until one and then got up at three.
Right.
So how's that working?
Exactly. But I'll sleep when I'm dead.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And that's another saying, right? You can sleep when you're dead. You can sleep when you're dead. You can rest when you're dead.
Which will happen a lot sooner if you don't sleep.
Yeah. Right. You know, we, what's that adage? People, work so much, or they spend so much time to earn money, and then they spend all their money to buy more time.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, it seems to have been the culture, what the culture has driven us to. It's everything's more, more, more.
Right.
And so, you know, the idea of contentment, I think, has been lost a little bit. And so if you don't have contentment, of course, you're going to be driven, and you're going to be looking for it and lots of places and fulfillment of like, well, I'll make that one more sale, or I'll get that one more $10 bill or $100 bill.
Mm-hmm.
I forget who it was. It was some a famous, like, very rich person. And they said, you've got X amount of millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what else do you need? And the response was just one more million.
Right.
That's crazy.
So what is the opposite of this look like, though? So obviously, if you're listening, we're not coming on here saying if you work a lot, that is inherently bad, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think any of us are saying that hard work is wrong or even not biblical from a biblical worldview that we're looking through. Like, work is actually, you see that from the very beginning, but what is, like, because I think also the opposite, so for people listening that maybe are just really driven, I think for some people, they have maybe seen the opposite of, like, hey, I don't want to be lazy, or I don't want to be viewed as lazy, and so I'm going to work hard, but the opposite too, like, being lazy or always resting isn't a healthy option either. So what do you guys think rest really is? Like, is it, hey, I get home, I play video games, that's rest? Or is it, hey, I go on vacation, that's rest? Or is rest something else? Like, what do you guys think that is?
I laugh only because, if you've been listening, you know that we're all dads, and going on vacation with kids is definitely not rest. That is for
you
sure.
If you have kids, you know that that's not rest.
The classic statement at the end, man, we need a vacation from our vacation.
Yes.
Yeah. I think there, especially in our culture, it does seem like you can either pick one or the other, that it's either we super value work, 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 or we super value, hey, take some me time. Hey, make sure that you're good. Both are not bad. The problem is when you prioritize one only over the other one.
Yeah, and they get into extremes, right?
Mm-hmm.
You had mentioned that earlier. Extremes is where the dangerous area is.
Right. Yeah. So I think, going off your question, Alex, I think that rest is when we're not prioritizing just not doing something, and it's not we're prioritizing doing something. It's we're prioritizing, from, I think, a biblical and a worldly perspective, our own health.
Yeah.
You can just veg out, play some video games, watch a movie, whatever. But you do need to ask yourself, is that helping you?
Right.
Is that fulfilling you in some way?
Yeah.
Sometimes it could be, but other times it might not be.
Yeah.
So you mentioned, you know, you mentioned biblical principles, biblical reference.
Sure.
There's a couple things that come to mind when you said that. One is Scripture says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. And there's so a principle there that we do have personal responsibility to take care of things, and that's part of the way God designed things to be. And you mentioned, you know, work in Scripture. Work is part of our purpose as human beings. God gave Adam purpose and work to do in the garden, and that was before sin entered.
So work is good. Work's a good thing.
Well, work is good because it's part of the way God created us to have purpose, right? And sometimes we think of work as like, this is the curse, I got to work. But when there's true purpose in what we're doing, it's, you know, it's not work necessarily. It takes effort, but it's not work. And the other, you know, the other dynamic of working and resting, and I think you mentioned the word rhythm earlier, and Scripture does give us a principle for rhythm. It's 6 days should you work, and then rest. Right? Bible calls it Sabbath, but really it's a rest. And so there is a rhythm principle that we see in Scripture. And I think even as you mentioned, Brian, you know, those who don't look to Scripture or aren't necessarily people of faith also recognize from a just a scientific health standpoint that that rhythm is healthy for the way our bodies and our minds function. And so it seems to be an obvious sort of universal truth that there needs to be a rhythm between exertion and rest, and there's a ratio there that that finds a really good balance.
So what does rest look like to you? I have two questions for you guys, because both of you have gone to school for ministry and things too. So you guys are kind of the experts here in this
oh
room.
Boy.
So you said the word Sabbath, Steve. So for those that are listening that are like, that's a really churchy word. I don't even know what that means. What is Sabbath? What does it mean to, because even in the Ten Commandments, if you've heard those, one of the commandments is honor the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Does that just mean going to church on Sunday? What is honoring the Sabbath, and how does that impact our lives?
Yeah, let me just read that verse from Exodus 20. It starts in verse 8. It says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. If you don't know, holy simply means set apart. So I do think there's a purpose there. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. So focusing on God. So purposeful, set aside, focusing on God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy, or set apart. So we see this example set up by God saying, look what I did. As Christians, we believe we should emulate God in everything that we do. And so he set that up. And in this commandment, he's saying, this is what you were made to do.
Yeah.
If you run your car constantly and never turn it off, eventually things are going to start breaking down. So we are meant to stop. But if you leave your car always off in your garage and never drive it around, it's going to start breaking down as well.
Right.
We're not meant to rest all the time. We're not meant to work all the time. But we are meant to, that one out of every 7 days, to rest.
Yeah. I think I've seen this sort of compared to like the biblical principle of tithing. It's like the idea of, we believe that God can do in 6 days what the rest of the world can do in seven, or believe that trusting God that he can do with 90% what the rest of the world can do with 100. It's that, do you guys think it's this aspect of, I'm trusting God, I'm finding my rest in him, I'm not relying on my own strength to accomplish things, but do you think it's partly a rhythm that God set up so that way we can be reminded that apart from him, apart from resting in him, there's really, we can grind it out, but it's not going to be that fulfilling, like what you were talking about, Steve, that fulfilling life that God desires for us.
Well, yeah, and I think when we talk about biblical principles, all of those really come down to a matter of faith and trust, right? Do I believe God? Do I believe his word enough to trust and act on that trust, right? If I really believe God was serious about saying, hey, you need to rest once in a while. You need to, and it's not just, sleep as long as you can that day. That's, but it really is about refocusing, you know, kind of resetting, just making sure that we are where we need to be mentally, physically, spiritually. I think, you know, certainly the opportunity to come together with like-minded people, especially believers, is a really healthy thing. I think there's also, in that rhythm, though, there we need to have things in our lives that are not just rest. It's not just, you know, as you guys said, be lazy, but what are things that are refreshing and refueling for us?
Right.
Because no one, and Brian, you said it, you can't just run your car all the time. You gotta refuel at some point.
Right.
And we need that as well. And sometimes we can rest from our normal, this is what our work is those 6 days. Mm-hmm. But then there can be other things that maybe it takes a little effort, but it's actually refueling for us, right?
Right.
And I think those are healthy things, and I think that's part of what the Sabbath looks like. It's
right.
it's a day that's set apart for something different, and specifically set apart intentionally so that we can connect with God. He can help refresh and refuel us as well.
Yeah.
And when we're intentional about that, I absolutely believe that God honors when we seek to obey and be in step with him.
Yeah.
So that can, you know, can I do more in 6 days with God than I can do in 7 on my own? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's different, right, than the world is like, you know, you said, Brian, earlier, like, oh, I just got to grind it. I got to do more and more and more. But there's certainly models. There's personal testimony models. There's business models of businesses who say, yeah, we could stay open on 7 days a week and try and get a few more dollars, but we've seen, you know, very successful models that honor that principle of 6 days you should work and 1 day is a day set apart. And, you know, I think we have examples of that in our culture, in a culture that sometimes is, you know, a little bit antagonistic towards that principle.
Yeah, yeah. We see that a bit with during the pandemic, a lot of companies had to be closed most of the time, obviously, and then coming out of that. So before the pandemic, we saw a lot of companies that were really getting closer and closer to that. We're just going to be open 24/7. We're going to be open on Thanksgiving. We're going to be open on Christmas.
Yeah.
The more we're open, the more money we can make. Right. And then once they were forced to, I would say, take a rest, they're realizing, wait, it is better for our workers. It is better for our business to take some breaks once in a while. I'm not putting any of those businesses on a pedestal at all. But I think it's always cool when we see how things that are stumbled upon by non-believers is something that we're like, yeah, that's what God says, is that we should take that break. And purposeful, Steve, you said intentional.
Yep.
When you were talking about it, I think it might feel like you're putting in a little more work, but when you are intentional and purposeful with your rest, with spending time with your family, with spending time with God, the return on that is more than worth it.
Yeah. So I think what you guys are describing is it is a rhythm that is, work is good. I think if you go back to the garden, like God setting up everything, you see he put the man in the garden, just reminded, it's like that's work, but it's good, it's fulfilling, but also the model of God rested, which God doesn't have to do that, right? Like he's not confined to what we're confined to, but I think he did that as an example for us to follow. But what does that rhythm look like? How do you, like, what would you guys say to the person who's like, I'm so tired all the time. I feel burnt out. Everything I try to do to find rest, it's just not there. Like, what would you guys say to that person who's maybe on one end of the pendulum or the other, where they're like, what does a rhythm even look like? That seems like a fairy tale to find that. What would you say to encourage that person?
Well, one of the things I would say is, you have the ability and the power to make those decisions for yourself. You know, I was talking with a guy a few weeks ago, actually, and he was struggling with this very thing. And he said, yeah, I don't have any, you know, I don't have a choice. And I said, well, that's the first lie that you've accepted that has depowered. It's taken your power. What's the word? Not depowered, but it's taken.
Sapped.
It's sapped your power. When you feel like I don't have a choice, that's a.
Ooh, yeah, that's defeating, right?
That's a lie that you've accepted that has so limited your ability to take control and to make choices that are good and healthy for you. And so You know, I just encourage people, don't lean into, well, I have no choice. You do have choices.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't mean that we don't make good and bad choices. Mm-hmm. But to think that we don't have any choice, like, okay, let's sit down. Let's make some clear decisions about this.
Yeah.
And sometimes you need a set of fresh, objective ears and eyes to help you look at what some of those decisions are. But, mm-hmm. You know, it's in the choices that we make, and it's a lot of times it's more the little choices along the way rather than one big choice. All right, I'm going to take a month vacation. And
right.
Like, well, wait a minute. What are you doing daily
yeah.
for rest and renewal and refreshing mm-hmm. and refueling? You know, one of the things I do is, you know, I play basketball in the mornings. Yeah. It takes effort to do. There's lots of times the alarm goes off early. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, man. But, you know, it is refreshing and refueling for me, yeah. even though it takes effort. Mm-hmm. And it's a change of pace from my normal workload, right? And so I would encourage someone to pause long enough to take a look at those margins and those yeah. little choices every day that are being made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, when you say right, you don't right. have time for something, you're saying that it's just not a priority for you.
Ooh.
So yeah. as we've been going back to purpose, priority, intention.
Yep.
Yeah. My wife reminds me of this every once in a while, is that she notices when I don't go out on walks, when I don't mm-hmm. prioritize, at least for a bit, my physical health, like go work out, whatever it is, that everything else suffers. That the rest of my life, my energy is lower, which is interesting that I expend energy walking and then have more energy.
And you feel yeah. better.
Afterwards.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's that finding, scheduling it, whatever it is, but saying, I know this feels like it's going to actually drain me more, but mm-hmm. it's not. If it's something that's healthy, if it's something, we use the word fuel, if it's something that fuels you,
yep.
then ultimately it's going to be, you're going to be better off than if you stay up late doing nothing and say, well, I was resting, but you might not feel good
yeah.
right.
after that.
That's great. Yeah. Let's keep this going. Just like the practical side too. Cause I think again, like you said, Steve, and you, Brian, I think it's easy when we get in a spot where we just feel like we're spinning our wheels and every day's the same. We're tired. We're burnout. It feels hopeless.
Yeah.
And it can also be the opposite too. I think where somebody's maybe stuck in a rut of, I don't feel productive and I don't know how to start. And so I feel like I'm just stuck in this place of just feeling blah. Like what are some other practical things again? Like how do you start? Maybe what are some other principles that you guys have seen that has just been really helpful to get started? And to, I think I've heard it said this way that I really like the idea of, the biblical model is working from a place of rest, not working to have this sense of fulfillment or accomplishment because I did this, but having a place of rest in the Lord, knowing who I am in Christ and working from that place. That's, we kind of see that as a biblical model. Like we see Jesus do that in his ministry right. when the people that would have been following him going, if I was going to build a successful ministry, I would do this, that, and the other thing. And Jesus goes away to be alone with the Father when the yeah. crowds are chasing after
yeah,
him, you know, this kind of thing.
He's got thousands of people and yeah. you think, oh, this is great. Look, and he's like, I'll be over here.
Yeah.
You know, and very comfortable making those decisions, right?
Right?
And maybe that's one of the things we need to recognize about that example is like, yeah, he was very comfortable making those decisions and he knew how good they were, right?
Yeah.
I've got to spend time with my father. And yeah. I think, you know, for me, a lot of times just helping myself not feel alone in things
yeah.
Can be very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So like for the basketball thing, this is a silly example, but it's a very easy one. Like we have a group, a message group.
Yeah.
And so if I've said I'm in for the morning,
yeah.
I have a sense of like I've committed to those guys
right.
and they're
mm-hmm.
counting on me, right? Yeah. And if I say I'm out, then I'm like, good, I'm comfortable not going this morning because
right.
they're not counting on me and they're not going to say, hey, is everything okay? Where are you? So
yeah.
I think in some of those decisions, like if you think something could be a good habit to start getting into or start forming. See if there's someone else that's in that same boat and you can help each other in that.
That's great.
Mm. You know, if I need to take 10 minutes and decompress before I get home, then set that lane up for yourself. Mm-hmm. And so that might just mean, hey, I say to my spouse, hey, when I get home, can we just walk in the backyard for 10 minutes and then we can start dealing with all the other stuff in life mm-hmm. that we need to deal with. But that 10 minutes would be great. If you're good with that, can we just agree to do that? Because we're making a clear decision to do this because we know it's healthy, regardless of how we feel in the moment. And mm-hmm. I think that's another piece of practical advice is make sure we're using our intellect and not just being driven by feeling an emotion in the moment. Mm-hmm. Right.
That's good.
Yeah. Alex, you said, or you asked, how do you even get started? Heard that a lot, and not to quote Nike, but part of me is just like, just do it.
Just do it.
And legitimately. So when it comes to, again, like a physical health perspective, mm-hmm. I saw Terry Crews, if you know him, he's an actor who is gigantic.
He's the office linebacker, wasn't he?
I believe so. But he was saying like the first step, honestly, to working out, because all these people are like, I don't have time or whatever. He's like, just go to the gym. Even if you don't work out, just going, just taking that little step of just doing it. Then the next time you go, you can be like, well, I might as well try something. Yep. I might as well do this. That first step, whether it is, hey, I'm reaching out to somebody, even if you don't have somebody right now, starting to do these things. Yeah. And again, just doing it. You say, I don't have time to walk for 1 minute. You probably have time for that.
Yeah.
I don't have time to read my Bible. Read one verse. Yeah. I bet you have time for that.
Yeah.
And so just doing something rather than putting it off and doing nothing, it makes all the difference.
Well, you're right. A lot of times we are looking at the end goal. Like we think, how can I get to that spot 1,000 miles from here?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you'll never get there if you don't take the first step, right? Because mm-hmm. we're thinking about how will I ever get to the last step? You know, just take the first step and you're a little bit closer than you were. So I think that's great, Brian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. I think, you know, wherever you find yourself, there's a step that you can take, whether it's you are on the one end of the pendulum of I am working too much to the point. I think a good indicator is, do I worship the work? Is my identity in the thing that I'm doing, and I'm just doing more because I don't want to look lazy, or I'm trying to get that next million or whatever, you know, those things. Again, working is a godly, holy thing.
Yeah.
But, and then the opposite, I think, you know, do I need to infuse purpose in what I'm doing? I think we all have a step that we can take there.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's a good point, Alex, that if you're doing something that you feel absolutely no purpose in, maybe it's a checkpoint to say, do I need to shift gears a little bit and really try and find what purposes does God have for me that maybe I haven't discovered or leaned into yet? Mm-hmm. And those can be big or small shifts. But that's a big part of it. And I think the other thing is look at the ratio, right? Mm-hmm. Not just, well, I got to do more of this or less of that or whatever.
Yeah.
But is there a healthy balance, right? And are there margins for when life doesn't go as expected?
Yeah.
So for me, margins have been a pretty significant theme in helping to keep balance, right? Not everything goes as planned, right?
Yeah.
I mean, stuff comes up. And have I built in space for those things? Because that's when you feel like, I don't have a choice. I got to do this. And you feel like, you know, something else is making choices for me that I really don't appreciate.
Yeah.
But one of the things we can do is try and build in some margins.
Yeah.
And I think that would be another kind of a principle there.
Mm-hmm.
What are those margins? What do they look like? And how do you protect those?
Yeah.
Right. And be willing to make those choices to protect those margins.
Hmm.
There's a great article called, this written I think in the 1950s, called The Tyranny of the Urgent.
Mm-hmm.
And the the expectation of the important versus the urgent.
Right.
And how do we balance those? Mm. I think that's a maybe a thought that someone might spend some time with.
Yeah. Life is about what you hold on to and what you let go of, mm-hmm. and having that balance there. My final challenge, I would say, is an honest evaluation as well. You can say, man, but I am resting, but how do you actually feel afterwards?
Right.
If it's draining you, if you're like, I did literally nothing today and I feel more tired.
Yeah.
Then you need to reevaluate.
Shift
and do something. Correct. Change those margins. So yeah.
Yeah. And I think a really great place to start is look at scripture and see, mm-hmm. like, how did Jesus rest? How does his followers that we can read, what does rest look like? And I think those things, whatever you do, if it's fueling you and it's allowing you to be realigned with God's purpose for you, like that's rest. And that's what is then fueling you to be able to do the work that God has for you to do. And everybody, I think, is a little bit different what that's going to look like, but it's prioritizing that, like you said, Steve.
Yeah, and rest is not just doing nothing. Rest is doing something that refreshes and refuels you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if it's not doing that, you got to shift gears.
Yeah. Well, guys, if you have any comments or even just some questions or thoughts about today's episode, we have our email address below, podcast@victorchurch.org. That is open, and we'd love to hear from you. If you have any comments or ideas or questions, ways that we can help you in this journey as well, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, sounds good. Hey, Alex, have a great day.
Yeah, you too, Steve.
Brian?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve, you have a great day.
Thanks. I'm working on it.
Great.
We'll see you guys later.
See ya.